Hey, thanks for listening to the Bold Centennial Podcast, the podcast where I share about my week and what I've learned that I believe is important to know or just fascinating in general. The show where there's a little something for everyone. Now let's jump in. Welcome. My name is Sandy Padu and this is episode 26. I asked you all on Instagram what you wanted to see, and an overwhelming number of you mentioned that you wanted me to talk about how to take charge of your own knowledge. So in this episode, I will talk about just that. So let's jump right in. So a little bit about me. I am about to graduate from SDSU, or San Diego State University. I have just one course left, which is so little, and it's going to start in about, 3 weeks, and I already had my virtual graduation ceremony, which has been super exciting, and I finally get to walk in December. But what that means is, I'm basically done university. And I've also held in this time an internship. I've worked a lot with social media and content creation and PR in general for various clients since I was in high school. And I do just want to mention all of that just so that you kind of get an idea of what my own skills are and what I have done in the past, because obviously these are not things that everybody does or are interested in. And I just want to mention that in this episode, I do plan on talking about obviously my own experience, but despite you perhaps not having the same career path or the same interest in the same skills, it doesn't mean that these aren't applicable whatsoever. Whether you want to be learning a new skill or a new topic or whatever it is, you can definitely apply to any of these. So, with that being said, I tend to have a lot more experience than most others at my age, and I feel like it's kind of been that way since high school, at least more experience to when it actually comes to in-field experience and skills that are actually applicable to things that I could be doing in the future, or I guess more things that some people would be doing currently as well in their own career. I don't say this trying to be cocky whatsoever, but I do have a lot of in-field experience that others simply have not acquired yet in college, which got me thinking, what differs me from what I do and what other people do? Why are people interested in how I've been able to, I guess, achieve or teach myself what I already know? And well, I realized that I like to take control of my own knowledge and experience, and it's always been this way. I've always tried hard in high school, but I realized that back in high school that I just liked doing what I like, and I don't want to simply turn in an assignment or simply just get a boring job. A lot of others would be working in like fast food restaurants or stores, but I somehow snuck my way in as a junior, still in high school, as the social media and PR person of a local martial arts studio. And a lot of people do not have this experience when they're in high school. And I don't even really know how I got myself there, but I can say this. I have always loved technology and being creative. And perhaps that's why as early as in elementary school, I remember that I loved creating websites. I used to have, my very first website, which I think I did as a total extra way of doing an assignment. I remember we had to do this like section on endangered animals, and I decided that I would create an entire website listing out these various like endangered species that I decided to like list out on a website with all their information. And I don't even know where that website is anymore. But I will remind you, I am in elementary school. I think I was in third or fourth grade, and that just seemed so fun to me. But why did I feel like I wanted to do that at such an early age? I just kind of look back at some of the stuff I made, and obviously that was probably awful. It was probably super terrible, especially like the basic websites that I would create back then, or the basic graphic design skills that I had even back in like middle school or early high school. If I look back to any of these, obviously they probably look like crap, but I was always the one teaching myself and others in class. I was teaching them how to do it. I remember very often for some reason we would have the first assignment of most classes would be to like design the cover of your notebook or binder that you would use for that class that included like your name and the teacher's name and like something that represents you to it. And I would always just make these like super elaborate covers for my like notebooks and binders that were just so extra compared to everybody else who would always like have all the pictures in line with each other, which means that they just like copy pasted them in while I would like properly design and like try to make my colors match and stuff like that. But that was obviously like nowhere near what was expected of me, but I just liked the idea that I was doing something a little extra and I was teaching myself how to do it and I could show off my own skills. And for me, it's just, it was something that I looked forward to for turning in my assignments and just looking slightly more professional or slightly better. And obviously this is because this was a skill that was of interest to me. So for you, it can totally be a different interest or a different topic that you really want to know more about. But for me, it was this whole graphic design, social media, and creativity featuring technology, I suppose, that I was trying to figure out for myself. I just wanted the online assignments or the items that I would be doing to just look a little bit better, to be just that much better. And that was always like that, like I said, from elementary making an endangered species website to in high school doing like all the other like assignments that I'd be doing. I just wanted to be a little bit better than others and prove to myself that I could do it as well. I think a lot of young people assume that they will learn something in school or will wait until they get their first internship or their first job to start really understanding things. And that's just not how it works, or at least not how I found it to work whatsoever. And that's not being proactive, in my opinion. This problem is also not just young adults. Many adults who are already in their career don't find the time or think they already like know enough or do too much in their career or in their life for them to be able to add these new skills to their books. But no, get out there and start learning. It's not that hard. You can do it by yourself. Back to when I said I held a social media and PR position, I remember that there were times when my boss would ask me questions or ask if something was possible that I just had no idea. But I'd search online or I'd watch YouTube videos literally on the clock because I wanted to know the answer for not only my boss, but I also wanted to prove to myself that I could figure it out and teach myself so that I could apply the skills for the future. So it's all about me really wanting to know for myself. Obviously, it affects other people. It affects like the teachers that I submit the assignments for or the bosses that I had or will have. I always want to be able to show them that I can do something, but also I want to be able to know for myself because I want to be able to say that, hey, yeah, I actually know the answer to that, or I can talk about this. I can show you that I can do this. I just want to be able to have that and be able to apply that for the future in an upcoming conversations and assignments. As I've gotten older, there are also a ton of ways that I love to acquire new knowledge. And I must say, after being on the edge of wrapping up university, I have learned almost everything that I apply between my freelancing and my blog and my podcast that I have taught myself. Almost everything that I've been able to apply to anything have been taught by myself and not by something that I've learned in class. My second year of college, I decided that I wanted an internship. Not that many people hold internships, A, in college, but B, especially not as a second year student. But I figured that having an internship would help me apply the current knowledge that I had in a real business setting, and it would hopefully grow my own knowledge immensely. I actually made a whole podcast, and I'll actually link this down below as to why I recommend an internship, but basically, it was definitely worth it. I learned so much and I'm still learning more as I'm freelancing for the same company, but I was able to apply everything that I had learned and just learn so much more from it. But did I learn anything that I'm using for the company from school? Nope. Again, a lot of it comes from me just messing around in my free time, whether it was younger, whether it's stuff that I do now for my own brand, whether it's stuff that I just want to do to try to figure out the task or by help, by asking other people for help. There's always a way for me to figure out how to do things, and I just do it and I learn it and I remember it for the future. Nowadays, when it comes to directly applying the creative skills to a task, I usually tweak things until I figure it out. So what I mean by that is, like, if I have a task to, I don't know, I used to get like asked to do like newsletters, and at first I had pretty much no idea what I was doing. I knew my way around graphic design, I knew my way around social media, and I knew my way into like content creation, like writing stuff and editing my own stuff. But actually designing a newsletter kind of means putting all of these skills together and figuring out how to use a certain platform or certain program to be able to send these all out and actually design these. But like I said, I had no idea what I was doing at first. So I just kept doing it and sending more and editing a bunch and figuring it out over time. That's exactly why when I say that, when I look back at the old websites, even of websites from just a couple of years ago, to me, they look terrible. And to some other people, they might look fine, but the amount of skills that I've learned over time just kind of makes me reflect back and be like, you really learned a ton, but you also really sucked when you started. But like I said, I have grown. And so I've learned from doing from just working on myself every single day. If you're not in the media space, you may not realize it, but there's so much that goes into just the actual media, especially if you're alone, such as when I work on the Bull Centennial brand. I obviously don't have any other employees. I do everything by myself, and a lot of the back end is new to me. You need to know how to do the obvious like content creation, such as like actually writing the blog post and doing social media, because obviously I have to keep my followers engaged, so I post on social media. And what that usually includes is knowing which hashtags to use and how to make compelling and engaging captions and finding a feed that kind of works together. But you also need to be great at organization. There's so many things that go into it. Editing both content and the images, learning, like I said, I've been learning different programs. And there's also the distribution and the managing the site and contacting others. It can be a whole lot that a lot of people don't realize. And I had done bits and pieces of all of this in different tasks from other companies or different things that I've done for myself, but I've never put all of these tasks together to be able to make the brand, which is a lot. This means that I was learning a lot in a short period of time because, like I said, I have only been on the Bold Centennial brand for a bit over a year. I've started this podcast less than 6 months ago, and I've been taking it super seriously just a couple of weeks ago. So I am learning so much in such a short period of time because I want to be able to apply this for myself and be able to do more. I can apply the graphic design and the social media skills I knew, but I've also now been trying to figure out Adobe programs, specifically Lightroom, Illustrator, and Photoshop, which definitely is not easy. And I remember on the very first picture I edited I posted it on Instagram, but I spent almost 2 hours on it. You ask anybody who's been on Lightroom, I think is what I used. You ask anybody who's been on Lightroom for a few years, they can do what I did in probably 5 minutes. I spent 2 hours on it because it can be complicated and it's a brand new program. No one is teaching me. No one is telling me I have to do this, but I want to become good at this for myself and my own brand. I also get a lot of knowledge in terms of how to do business in general, and it's like broad term from podcasts too. I love podcasts. It's an efficient way to learn new things while you could be driving, working out, cooking. Those are usually my top three times that I listen to podcasts, including sometimes I will do my entire bedtime routine while listening to a podcast. It's so easy, and so why not learn about new topics and new perspectives while you do other things? Another great way is through reading. However, I will admit that I have not been good at this in the last year, but I truly want to get back in reading. You can learn so much from reading how-to books, productivity, self-help books, even biographies can give you so much information and knowledge on people and how they were able to achieve something. There's also the obvious watching YouTube videos, which, like I said, I do all the time. Same for reading blogs by others. Heck, for learning how to Photoshop and do certain things on Illustrator, I started watching a bunch of videos, but now I know how to do them again for the future. I literally was stuck on simple things like recoloring something or deleting like a line from my sketch that I did, but I didn't want to just like give up on it. I just spent maybe slightly too long in the moment to be able to make it happen. But now that I know how to do it, I can do it for the future. And so I've expanded my own knowledge. My point is, just because you haven't formally been taught how to do something doesn't mean that you should just make that as your excuse as to why you can't do it or don't have that skill in your repertoire. No, if you care enough about the subject or the skill, you can always learn more about it. Don't just be stuck at what you currently know. If that was the case, I wouldn't know half of what I currently do, and that's also just how you get stuck in one place. If you don't put an effort to expand your knowledge, you're bound to stay at the same place in your life or even your career. So to sum it up, how can you take control of your own knowledge? Learn by asking others that know how to or have been in the same position or have gone through the same experiences as you. Learn through others by watching videos, listening to podcasts, or reading books. You can even look through people's Instagram at times. Some people have like the microblog, so basically like a caption that's pretty in-depth, which I do try to incorporate here and there, or people's stories. There's so many ways that you can incorporate new knowledge from people. Learn through others by, you could even enroll yourself in new courses or that are outside of like classes. A lot of people think you have to go to, like I said, you have to go to school to learn it, but turns out sometimes you learn a lot more on your own. You can always enroll yourself in like a seminar or a webinar if that's easier. Or just there's websites like Skillshare, which I really, really want to try, but that give you resources right there at your fingertips super easily. You just have to go ahead and go out there, learn, take it in, and adapt when needed. Make mistakes, learn from them, and grow. I really think that's all there is to expanding your own knowledge. And it's not just by waiting on you to learn things that you're going to learn them. You have to actually actively go out there and seek that new knowledge. Now, that's all I have for you today. And if you have a quick second, please rate and review this podcast. And if you want to stick around, the second portion of the podcast is a quick weekly summary plus a recommendation. This week, I've been trying hard to reprogram myself and have a more planned schedule. I have loved to do to-do lists and writing down my top three tasks I need to get done for a few months now, but I felt like if I was going to be an even more productive person in my day, that I needed to do more. I felt like I wasn't doing enough. But I recently bought the Rachel Hollis Priority Planner, and I'm only 2 weeks in, but I am really liking it right now. Basically, you write down your weekly intentions, and then each day you have your results that you want out of the day and your top three tasks that you want to do in order of priority, which is perfect because, like I said, I had already been doing these top three things and writing them down. So it was just basically reinforcing what I already knew that was important. But then you have an hour by hour planned page for you to write down everything that you have to do. And I realized that despite having a to-do list, I sometimes was almost too easy on myself. Usually it's the other way around. I notice that people usually overbook themselves. So they have all these things that they want to do. And they realize that in terms of time, there's just no humanly possible way that they can get it done. But for me, I almost had too much space in my schedule that I was just trying to fill in gaps without really having like an actual plan. So since I am on week two of this journal and of quarter one plans of Bull Centennial, which by the way, this journal is 3 months at a time. So it's perfect for me because I've mentioned before that I have this whole plan for Bull Centennial. I divided it between quarters. And so this is perfect for my quarter one plan, but I did start planning more things, not too much more, but just a couple more tasks a day to make sure that I do keep busy. And it feels good to cross off items from your list. For me, it's much more rewarding to have a bit more and cross them all off, but not have time for extra tasks that are on my extra to-do list, rather than have only a few planned tasks like I originally had, and then I would just move on to a couple of the items that I had on my, I guess, my extra to-do list. Obviously, everything on my to-do list is important, but I kind of made them not a priority by having them in my day, even though I clearly had the space to put them there. The fact that I do have this planner keeps me very accountable, and I look forward to the next task and then in the new day to accomplish more tasks. And while I'm in the day, I'm always like, okay, cool. So I knocked this out. I actually knocked this out like 15 minutes or half an hour faster than I thought I would. So what else can we add? Or can I move on to the next task so that by the end of the night, I can have either a little bit more of me time or do start knocking down the stuff from that extra to-do list that I have. So I just really like it. I greatly recommend the Rachel Hollis Priority Planner. Obviously, this isn't sponsored. I fully wish it was, but you could do this also on any other hourly planner too. I don't do my phone anymore because I like the fact that my phone is kept separate from my work and that I have to actually write out my goals. I definitely think there's something different there than actually putting in your phone like walk an hour here, work out here. I just feel like when you actually see a visual on paper that obviously is also bigger than your phone, it kind of gives you a more accurate representation if you are overbooking or underbooking yourself. I think that this is a great practice for anyone, whether you do freelance or work from home or work in an office or in a regular 9-to-5 job. What will you do with all the other hours you have? Maybe you go ahead and learn something new. But with that, this concludes this episode. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week. Bye. So that's a wrap. Thank you for tuning in to the Bold Centennial podcast, and I hope you rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you're listening this to. Any reviews and feedback help me out greatly. I hope to see you next week as I share more about my life and new things I learn every day. Bye, thank you.